Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Who poses the greatest threat to the institution of marriage? Larry King, who's been married, what, 7, 8 times? Or a gay couple in Washington, D.C. named Henry Schlitzky and Bob Davis, who have been together 62 years, and who were married 2 weeks ago.
That is Cynthia Bolbach, the newly elected moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA, addressing the denomination's General Assembly, making the case that a gay couple may be more committed than heterosexual couples. Joining us to talk about the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, taking place in Minneapolis as we speak, Pastor Parker Williamson. He's editor emeritus of the Layman for the Presbyterian Lay Committee, and he joins us live from the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. Parker, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. Glad to hear your voice.
I must wonder, what does the election of Cynthia Bolbach and her words that we heard there signal for the Presbyterian Church USA?
Well, it signals the fact that this particular General Assembly is going all out to do away with the gift of marriage between a man and a woman. Since her election, we've gone downhill from that point. The General Assembly's special committee to deal with marriage has concluded that marriage shall be now defined as any union of two people, not a man and a woman. And they did it in an interesting way, Todd. Instead of making that a constitutional amendment, which then would have to go out to the people to be ratified, they declared that an interpretation of the Constitution. They call it an authoritative interpretation. Interpretations don't have to go out for ratification. So it's a trick, but think about it this way. If the book says that this apple is red, you can say, my interpretation of what the book says is that the apple is green.
Let's take a break right there. It sounds as though a little procedural trickery, and lo and behold, another step in the wrong direction for the Presbyterian Church USA, bringing us up to date as the Presbyterian Church USA meets in General Assembly in Minneapolis. Pastor Parker Williamson, Editor Emeritus of the Layman for the Presbyterian Lay Committee. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How can a proper distinction between God's law and God's gospel help you better understand God's word? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. You can purchase Law and Gospel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible by C.F.W. Walther.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're getting a live report from the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA this Wednesday afternoon, July the 7th. Our guest is Pastor Parker Williamson of the Presbyterian Layman. What is more light? What is this group down there among the Presbyterians in Minneapolis?
Well, the More Light group is a group who say basically that although Scripture gives you some light, there's a lot more light to be found, and of course they found it, and they found it in the sexuality movement. The More Light group is very well organized, and they are very much present at this assembly. Interestingly enough, over at one of their booths in the exhibit hall, you can go over there and they'll give you free AIDS testing, which I thought was quite interesting. Why would you need that if you weren't living a lifestyle or of where that would be make you vulnerable? But at any rate, they offer that at a booth in the General Assembly here in Minneapolis.
You mentioned before the break that the changing of the standard for or the definition of marriage in the Presbyterian Church USA's view was done by kind of a procedural sleight of hand, whereby they say all we're doing is offering an interpretation of the Constitution. We are not suggesting that the Constitution itself be changed.
Right.
Okay, why is this a clever trick? And you made the analogy between saying, well, the book says the apple's red, but my interpretation of the book means the apple's green. What did you mean?
Well, I mean by that that we have a constitution. We're supposed to be a constitutional church, and it's difficult to change the constitution because you can pass a change here at the General Assembly meeting, but then it's got to go out to all the presbyterians all over the country, and those presbyterians have an opportunity to vote on that, and a majority has to pass it in order for the constitution to become effective, or the change to become effective. But what they've done is they've said, we're not really changing the Constitution. We're going to leave the definition of marriage as one man and one woman in the book. But we're going to change our interpretation of that. We interpret that to mean two persons. And because it's a change of interpretation, interpretations of the General Assembly don't have to go out for ratification among the people. So it stays in the book, but you do exactly the opposite. And that's what happened. It's just downright, there's no integrity to that, as you well can see. What they've done here is two things in the area of sexuality. One is they've wiped out the definition, the Christian definition of marriage. And secondly, they also now are moving to take out of the Constitution any sexual ethic. Namely, we have a sexual ethic in there that we will not ordain or install into leadership in the church, persons who are engaging in sex outside of marriage. Well, they're passing an amendment to that constitution that will go out to the people this time, but it's going to be an uphill battle. Now, let me say very quickly at this point, we are in the earliest part of the General Assembly meeting. These are committee actions; they still have to be ratified on the floor of the assembly, but for these actions, these committees are overwhelmingly voting this way. And I would predict that the full General Assembly will endorse what they're saying and make them policy.
Parker, you say an uphill battle, and I'm sure you're right that it's going to be a lot harder to sell this in the presbyteries than it is in this kind of, highly concentrated and more, to be fair, more liberal group, perhaps not representative of the presbyteries.
Yeah.
But yeah. If the experience of other mainline Protestant denominations teaches us anything, it's that groups who want these kind of changes are very patient. They're willing to continue to swing the axe as many times as they need to before the tree comes tumbling down.
You're exactly right, and that's been true in the Presbyterian Church. You know, they've been at this year after year. Our ordination standards went into the book in 1996, and every year since then, the liberal groups have organized and have pushed. And they have made headway. And frankly, the last time this thing was voted on, we just defeated it by a hair. The problem, you see, also is that we're having quite an out-migration. Churches are leaving this denomination now in droves. And, of course, they're the conservative churches that are leaving. So what that means is that the balance is radically changing now. I'm very concerned that what this General Assembly does this time may well be ratified out in the presbyteries.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think that the presbyteries themselves, because of the attrition of more conservative Presbyterian congregations, are by default becoming more liberal?
Exactly. Exactly. We've seen that in a number of presbyteries that, which have traditionally stood for the scriptural ethic, now are changing their tune, and primarily it's because many of our conservative congregations are looking for the exit, and they just don't want to be part of this thing anymore.
What other controversial issues is the Presbyterian Church USA dealing with in Minneapolis?
Well, there's a form of government task force, and that sounds pretty secular. But basically what it is, it has to do with the organization of the Presbyterian Church. And there's a series of proposals in that thing that would actually make the hierarchy of the denomination, the denominational offices, much more powerful, much more centralized control over the local congregation, taking away many of the rights and powers of local church leadership, and that's going to be a real issue, I think. There's also quite a battle going on here over the Middle East, over the Israeli-Palestine issue. There is a very vocal organization here, very much supported by the denomination's staff leadership, that is very much dedicated to supporting the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Hamas and Hezbollah and to some degree Fatah. And this organization, you can see them all over the floor. They're wearing multicolored ribbons to identify themselves, and they call themselves part of the Israeli-Palestinian peace movement. Well, what they mean by peace movement is really a bashing of Israel. They're calling for Israel to withdraw from all of the occupied territories. They're calling for Israel to give up buffer zones, to tear down the wall that they've put up to protect their citizens from suicide bombers. They're calling on the United States government to withdraw military and aid to Israel. They're really making quite a spectacle here. To some degree, we're seeing that assault is being pushed back, but it is clearly the next front. In fact, really, this is the first General Assembly I've seen where sex is being trumped by some other issue. I guess Presbyterians have been fooling with sex so long that it's just a boring subject.
One quick final question for you, Parker. You once stated on this show that on paper the Presbyterian Church USA is conservative, but in practice it is liberal. What did you mean by this, and is this still the case? Just about 30 seconds to answer.
Yeah, more so. On paper, we have these wonderful confessions of faith that date back through our Reformed heritage, and they do state the gospel message, but they're on paper. What the Presbyterian, it's the difference between what one believes on paper and what one actually practices, de jure, de facto. And that's what's happening in the Presbyterian Church USA. It does not follow policies that uphold the Holy Bible and the confessions of the church that are based on the Scripture.
Pastor Parker Williamson is editor emeritus of the Layman for the Presbyterian Lay Committee. He joined us live from the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. Parker, keep up the good work. Our prayers are with you.
And thank you for your witness to a widening audience. I appreciate everything you stand for.
Boy, it sounds strangely familiar, doesn't it? To listen to live word from Minneapolis, where the Presbyterian Church USA meets in General Assembly, apparently on that slow but unending march, untiring march toward the precipice, down the slippery slope, on all sorts of issues, sexual and otherwise. And while at the same time trying to centralize power in their church bureaucracy, you know, the two kind of go together. They really do. It's much more difficult to convince honest, Bible-believing lay people and pastors out there in the pews of the liberal agenda. What is much easier? Concentrate power, make the decisions by fiat, in essence, or force them through, as we see in Parker's example, procedural trickery or just procedural force. Easier to do. You know, when people are reading their Bibles and believing what it says, it's really hard to sell them false doctrine and false practice. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.